thought we don't want to miss an opportunity for all of us to hear a little bit from Hannah. So we're going to attempt to sit gracefully on these two chairs.
I was going to wait for you to do it
as you go. There we go.
I'm spinning, hang on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're spinning. Okay. I am going to spend a few minutes now interviewing Hannah so we can all hear a little bit more about her and some of the challenges, particularly in the last few years. We're thinking today, obviously, about emotions in the kind of the small, everyday things, but also in some of the much bigger issues of life. But just before we kind of head into the last few years, sorry, I didn't warn you about this, but Hannah, could you tell us just briefly maybe about how you came to faith? Yeah, that would be great.
Briefly. I grew up going to church.
Yeah.
So going to church was something that I did with my nan. She would take me whenever we'd stay over, which was quite regularly. She would, we'd go on the bus and get to church. And so Sunday school and going to church was something that I did quite regularly. But it wasn't until I was about 10 or 11 when I first heard the gospel that Jesus died for me and all the rubbish that I knew I was like, even as a 10-year-old, that he died for me. So the first time I heard the gospel was when I was about 10. And so I was like, oh, I'd like to hear more about that. And made a decision to follow Jesus as my saviour when I was about 12. And wanted to go to church every Sunday. So instead of being taken to church, oh, I lost my earring, don't worry, I'll leave it there. Instead of being taken to church, I would like prod my mum, we're going to church now, mum. wanted to find out more about this saviour who had died for me. Got stuck in a youth group when I was a teenager. Being loved by the church family, so not just with the other teenagers, but be a felt part of the bigger church family. loved by them, and then growing in faith since then. I think it's, keep on going, still learning, still growing.
And I know it was mentioned just at the beginning, but can you just remind us of your family situation? So, I know mother-in-law is here.
Yeah, it's over there. At home, there's Matt, my husband. We have three children and a fourth on the way. So two boys, Stefan, 7, Jesse, 6, Corrie, Ten Boom. She's 2, going on 22. and then the little one, 2 in a couple of months' time.
Great. Now, some of us who have perhaps been around a little bit longer at Shepherd Drive might well remember, I think it's 2018, we suddenly were told by Rod and Debbie that we needed to be praying for you. For those who perhaps are not aware of that, perhaps joined the church since or perhaps visiting today, can you just talk us through the events of April 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It started then. So the summer before, I went to the doctors thinking I had an ear infection. I had tinnitus. My ears felt quite heavy. I thought, oh, I just need to get this sorted out. And he said, oh, there's no infection there, but I want you to get it checked over. So I went to the hospital. This is kind of December, January, because you know how long the waiting lists are. I had a scan and then they found a tumour on my brain. Nothing to do with the ear, in fact, something completely unrelated. There's a tumour. They operated, so they took out as much of the tumour as they could, just to know what they were dealing with. It turns out it was a fast-growing tumour, so they did a biopsy. It was a fast-growing tumour, primary brain cancer. So I had radiotherapy for 6 weeks along with chemotherapy, and then chemotherapy for a year after that. The tumour is still there. So it's smaller than it was because it's been taken out, but they can't get rid of it all. And one day it will grow again, don't know when. That would mean more operations, more chemotherapy. But the doctors say that there's nothing, that this is going to be for the rest of my life now. That, and one day it will grow, and they won't be able to do anything, and it will. It is something that will shorten my life.
When you first kind of heard the diagnosis, those kind of early days, do you want to just maybe talk us through what thoughts, feelings, what was going through your mind?
Lots yeah. of things. Lots of things going on. I'm sure most people in this room, if not everybody in this room, has had a diagnosis which took them by surprise, or know of somebody that they love who have had a diagnosis that is something similar. And it does kind of hit you like a brick wall. And you kind of feel just scared and just upset. I think I went through a phase of being angry, but I don't know who I was angry at. Kind of just feeling this is just horrible, and this is horrible. And I think it made me realize that sickness is rubbish, and so sickness is awful. So there's lots of different emotions going on there. But I think because I had been taught well and taught of how much God is in control of things, is in control of everything, how much God cares for me, those emotions didn't last for very long. I don't think I was ever angry at God for this. Knowing that sickness is around and sickness is rubbish, and God thinks sickness is rubbish too. And that helped me at the first diagnosis. I don't think I've ever been scared of death and sickness. But it made me realise, actually, I think whenever we have something like this, it makes us realise how small we are. And it just made me realise how fragile life is. At church at the moment, we're going through Isaiah, and it reminded me again of how much small we are. In Isaiah 40, it talks about people being like grass, actually like grasshoppers, and compared to the God who flung stars into the space. We are so small and minute, and nobody knows when life is going to come to an end. Nobody knows what the next thing is going to happen. And I think that made me realise, actually, yeah, I'm so tiny. But in the same chapter, in Isaiah 40, it talks about how God is like a shepherd, and he holds his lambs close to his heart. This great God who flung stars into space, with the same hands that flung those stars into space, he holds his children, his lambs, close to his heart. And I definitely felt, so that made it more real, and going through something like that, yes, I'm tiny and kind of almost insignificant, but to a great God who cares for his children, I am so loved. So I don't know if I've answered that question that you asked. Just feeling loved by that, by him.
What impact does it have? We were thinking, I appreciate you weren't in this last session, you were out there, we were thinking about the future. Obviously, they've said, you know, the tumour's going to grow again at some point, but you obviously don't know the time frame or anything. I mean, how does being a Christian kind of impact your sort of thoughts of the future and kind of looking forward?
Can I start with far future? When I first became a Christian, as a very little Christian, my nan actually shared this with me. And it stuck with me ever since. And it's a verse that was read at my baptism. It's a verse that I've kept on coming to again and again and again. And I never really knew that how important it would be. It has been important, but I never knew how much important it would be for this. John 14 is what Jesus talks to his disciples. He's about to go to the cross. And this is what he said. So he could have lots of worries, but he was talking to his disciples and wanting to care for them. And he says this: "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going." And knowing that verse, I've learnt it in a different version, so I had to read that. Knowing that verse, knowing that one day, when everything is ready, Jesus is coming to get me, and I'll be in heaven with him, which is going to be epic and brilliant and awesome. I'm going to meet him face to face. But knowing that there's a room with my name on it in heaven, that Jesus is getting ready for me. He, you know, the perfect bedspread and the trifle in the corner to feast on with my friends. Furthest away, that's just, I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? That knowing that we have a home. So that, somebody sent me a message last week, which reminded me again of this, and I'm going to share it with you. It's a picture of Jesus hugging somebody. And it said, the hands that made you will one day welcome you home. And I think that's just true, isn't it? That when we put our trust in him, the hands that made us, he will welcome us home, which I just think is just totally awesome. Getting a bit closer, and now day to day, thinking about the future, I do, you know, we're talking about worry this morning. I do get worried, so there are lots of things that are coming up in the future that, you know, we're not in control of. We can't, like you said this morning, we think we're in control, but we're not in control. And what do we do with that? so for me, that is, I have scans every 3 months. So I have to psych myself up to go to a scan, wait for the results. Has it grown? What will that mean? Will I need more treatment? How will Matt deal with that, because I will be out of action for however many months. How will the children deal with that? They're getting older, so they understand more of what's going on. The what ifs. That's a lot of what ifs. And Matt has to remind me, Hannah, you're not in control. And having brothers and sisters around us, reminding us what is true, is really important. I know that for me. Hannah, you're not in control. God is. When it happens, God will be there. When it happens, you are not alone. And actually, I know that's true, because when it happened before, when I went through all the treatment and everything before, I was wiped out for over a year almost. And I knew God's love for me through his people. I think the church family in Birmingham, our freezer was always full. The children were always taken care of. I always had a lift to hospital for all the appointments I had. I was prayed for. We weren't sure whether Matt would have to give up work. For a while, he did. Money was sent through the door. Like, hang on, where did this come from? And not just practical help, but knowing people are praying for us is just amazing. Knowing that God's people love us that much to give us to God. And I know that here in Shepherd Drive, across the country, and actually across the world, people were praying for us and just felt God's love for us in that way. And so we're talking about worries this morning, about giving our worries to God and how we can pray to him, and that door is always open. But we've got brothers and sisters. God has blessed us with a church family too. He's given us brothers and sisters. He realized, actually, yeah, we're no good on our own. Some strange reason he knew that. And he's given us a church family, and I think that's just been a real blessing to me, knowing that God shows his love through his people as well. So whenever I worry, not just about those things, other things as well, I need to, having people to remind me that, yeah, God is, God's in control.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. Just lastly, how can we be praying for you today, going forward?
So please do keep us in your prayers. Obviously, this tumour is still there, and we would love for you to pray for us in that I would keep, yeah, most of all, that we would keep trusting God. There are all sorts of things going on in the world, in our lives, and in the lives of people around us, and that in everything that we would keep trusting God. My big prayer is for our children. I don't know whether I will be around to see them get married or graduate or get a job. I just don't know. And please pray that I would remember that God has even those details in control, and that, yeah, that they would know God's deep love, even in midst of all this that could happen. Does that make sense? Yes, could happen. Yeah.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for our sister Hannah. Thank you that you made her, and the arms that made her will one day welcome her home. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful, honest testimony that she's been able to share today. Lord, that you have chosen her and that you are keeping her. And Lord, we pray amidst the uncertainty of the future, Lord, we pray that Hannah and Matt and the family would be able to keep trusting you. Thank you so much for how you have provided again and again for them. And Lord, we pray that you would not stop, and we know that you will not stop providing for them. We pray that you would keep them trusting. And Lord, we pray particularly for the children. Lord, again, we don't know the future. Hannah doesn't know the future, but you do. And we pray that each one of those children would be so secure in your love, that they would be, each would grow up to know and love you and to be able to testify to your goodness too. Oh, Father, we pray that you would continue to be so at work in Hannah and her family. Lord, would you carry them? We pray. Amen.